This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, once again, sports fans. This is Dana Augusta once again for week three of the Historically Speaking NFL Matchups, where we once again highlight the best of pro football from back in the day. And in case you're new here, we look at matchups from this week's NFL schedule that are rematches of famous games from NFL history and talk about them in a brief episode to not only reminisce, but to also get you ready for the upcoming week in the National Football League. In this week's brief NFL episode, we have one game from the 1960s, a game from the 1970s, and one from the 1980s. Moving chronologically, the game from the 60s features a team that is off to a quick start here in the 2024 season. The game we will highlight is this team's first ever win in franchise history that took place in one of football's most iconic stadiums. The game from the 70s features a pair of teams that have started 2-0 on this young season. Yet back in 1973, when these two teams faced off against one another, they were both going in total opposite directions. This game, which was a total blowout, featured the end of a career for one Hall of Fame quarterback who was replaced by another signal caller that would end up in Canton, who sparked a comeback that fell short. And finally, in the game from the 1980s, we have two longtime NFC rivals meeting in the playoffs for the first time ever in a conference championship game, no less. So that is what's going on here on this NFL historical matchups for week three edition of the Historically Speaking Sports Podcast, where we talk about the best of sports from back in the day. The first game we will take a look at took place at iconic Tulane Stadium in Uptown section of New Orleans on the sunny afternoon of November 5th, 1967. This regular season game featured the expansion New Orleans Saints in their first season in the NFL, taking on the more established Philadelphia Eagles, just 7 seasons removed from winning the NFL championship in 1960. The Eagles, coached by Joe Kuharik, entered the game with a 4-3 record and were led offensively by quarterback Norm Snead and running back Timmy Brown. Meanwhile, the Saints entered this week eight matchup with the Eagles still looking for their first win in franchise history. The Saints, up to this point in the 67 season, was 0-7. The week before, the Saints led 10-0 for 3 quarters, but surrendered 14 unanswered points in the final period to the Pittsburgh Steelers, losing 14-10. In this game, the Saints started off with a bang. Just like the first game of the season and at first in franchise history, the Saints returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. In the season opener and franchise opener against the LA Rams, it was John Gilliam who returned it for 6. On this afternoon, it was a man they called the Flea, Walter Roberts, who returned the opening kickoff 91 yards to open the scoring. In the second quarter, it was Roberts again, this time recovering an offensive fumble and going 27 yards for his second touchdown of the afternoon. The Eagles seemed to grab the momentum right before the half after Sam Baker connected on a 41-yard field goal. That was followed by Norm Snead, who found Jim Kelly on a 22-yard touchdown right before halftime, making the score 14-10 at intermission. In the third, the Saints extended their lead to 17-10 after a Charlie Durkee field goal. Then the Saints seized the momentum as defensive back Dave Witzel returned a Norm Snead interception 41 yards for a touchdown to give the Saints a 24-10 lead heading into the fourth quarter. In the fourth, the Eagles would rally behind with a Gary Bauman touchdown reception, but the afternoon would belong once again to the Flea. Midway in the fourth, the Saints put the game away as Saints quarterback Gary Quazo found Roberts for his third touchdown of the day, making the score 31-17. On this afternoon, he scored a kickoff return, a fumble recovery, and a more traditional touchdown pass for Walter Roberts' game of games. The Eagles would add a late touchdown, but this day it was for the Saints, which was their first win in franchise history, winning 31-24. The Saints would finish their inaugural season by going 3-11. Their only two other wins in their 1967 debut season would be in Week 11 against arch-rival Atlanta, winning 27-24. And on the last game of the regular season, the Saints would notch their first ever road win, beating Washington 30-14 at DC Stadium. The second game we will highlight in this walk down gridiron memory lane takes place on October 7, 1973 at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh. The Steelers, led by coach Chuck Noll and young quarterback Terry Bradshaw, took on the San Diego Chargers, led by coach Harlan Suare and quarterback Johnny Unitas. Yes, that Johnny Unitas. Now, during the offseason, the Chargers had acquired the then 40-year-old quarterback in a trade with the Colts. Unitas was the starter at the beginning of the year after the Chargers sent former quarterback John Hadle to the Rams. The Chargers were coming off of a 4-9-1 record in 1972 and entered this Week 4 game with a 1-2 record. Meanwhile, the Steelers had started a perfect 3-0 one year after their appearance in the AFC Championship game against the Dolphins, and were looking to maintain their great start to the season. They did that, and then some. The Steelers exploded on the Chargers, scoring 38 unanswered points just in the first half. Meanwhile, it was a disaster for the Chargers, and more specifically, John Unitas. And what would end up being his final career start as an NFL quarterback in his career, Unitas showed every bit of a 40-year-old against the Steel Curtain defense. Before being replaced, he went 3-for-15 for only 24 yards and 3 interceptions. His replacement would be fourth-year quarterback Wayne Clark, who would not fare any better. However, entering the fourth quarter, the Chargers coach decided that Clark had had enough punishment, and he would be replaced by third-string rookie quarterback who was San Diego's third-round pick in that year's draft. His name? Dan Fouts. Fouts would come in and lead the Chargers on 3 scoring drives in the fourth quarter against the Steelers' defensive reserves, which included his first scoring toss of his career to Jerry Levias. The Chargers would fall 38-21, but this game marked the beginning of the Dan Fouts era in San Diego. The Chargers would finish the season with a dismal 2-11-1 record on the season, while the Steelers would go 10-4. The third and final game we will highlight is the only one that is a playoff game from years gone by, and believe it or not, it was the first time that these two longtime West Coast rivals had ever met in the postseason, with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line, no less. On January 14, 1990, the NFC top-seeded San Francisco 49ers, looking to win their second consecutive Super Bowl, took on longtime West Coast rival LA Rams in the NFC Championship game at Candlestick Park. The Niners had avenged their loss to the Minnesota Vikings from a couple of seasons earlier in the divisional round, while the Rams had upset the New York Giants at the Meadowlands in overtime the week before. The Rams had split 2 games with the San Francisco 49ers during the season, led by quarterback Jim, don't call me Chris, Everett. And like the kids say, if you know, you know. Earlier that afternoon, the Denver Broncos had defeated the Cleveland Browns 37-21 in the AFC Championship game at Mile High Stadium, punching their ticket to Super Bowl XXIV in New Orleans. And despite the two previous games between the Niners and Rams that year, which had been close, this one, with the trip to the Super Bowl on the line in their rubber match, not so much. San Francisco rolled up 442 yards of offense and held the ball for nearly 40 minutes as the 49ers crushed the Rams 30-3 to advance to their third Super Bowl in the decade of the 1980s. Joe Montana led the 49ers offense by going 26 of 30 for 262 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Meanwhile, Roger Craig led the 49ers with 94 yards on the ground and a touchdown while catching three passes for 40 yards. And along with the masterful performance of the offense in this game, San Francisco's defense was just as crucial. Rams quarterback Jim Everett, who threw for over 4,300 yards and 29 touchdowns during the 89 regular season, went just 16 for 36 for 141 and was intercepted three times. His main targets during the season, receivers Henry Ellard and Flipper Anderson, finished with just a combined three receptions for just 32 yards. After dominating the Rams in the NFC Championship game, San Francisco would go on to pummel the Broncos 55-10 in the Superdome just a couple of weeks later. And as for the Rams, this would be their final playoff game as the Rams, before moving to St. Louis at the end of the 1994 season. Okay, and that will do it for week three of the Historically Speaking NFL Matchups. And we will try to come out with these mini episodes every week during the NFL regular season, highlighting great and memorable games from the long history of the National Football League. And as usual, this podcast comes to you from the Bill King Memorial Studio in the sports wing of TM4 Enterprises, located in suburban Atlanta in the shadow of Stone Mountain. To get more content of the Historically Speaking Sports Podcast, you can check us out on Twitter X at HistoricallySP2, or you can send us an email at historically.speaking.sports@gmail.com. And if you have not done so already, please, please subscribe to the show. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, hell, tell a passerby on the street if you think they like sports history. And until the next episode, stay blessed, stay cool, and be the best in everything that you do, and it'll make the world a much, much better place. Peace.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.